The vast majority of churches now do sermons in a series format, a group of messages that are all linked together with a common theme. And to that end, we wanted to give you some tips that I've picked up over the years on how you can craft a better sermon series. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about how to craft compelling sermon series for your church, kind of giving you a step-by-step guide on how I do that, I guess, as someone who's done many, many series before. I was looking at my catalog the other day, and I've preached over 700 messages that I've written in my ministry career.
Wow,
and
that's good.
I'd say at least 90% of those were in a series of some kind. I have a little bit of experience of that, and I recently became executive pastor at my church, where I don't preach. We have a primary teaching pastor. I preach occasionally at our church now, but part of what we've been doing is revamping our sermon series building strategy and kind of talking about it as a directional team. So I wanted to shed some light on some of the things we do to make our series more impactful.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear you talk about it. I myself have pastored and not actively, I'm active in ministry, but not an active pastor who's preaching from the pulpit. I preach to pastors every day about how they need to use digital marketing. So there we go. But no. So it will be good to glean from you here a bit, Thomas. It's been a bit since I've preached from the pulpit, but I do, of course, have experience. We in digital marketing come across so many different websites with, you know, sermon archives, and we're coming across different YouTube channels and so many cool pastors with doing really neat sermon series, so this should be good. But
let me say one thing before we get going into our. We have seven steps, I guess, kind of a seven-step framework on creating good sermon series. I have some bad news I want to start with, though. Nobody cares about your sermon series as much as you do. I have found that for the vast majority of times, like, that people, like, we get really caught up in what they are, whatever that sermon series is. But because the way attendance works at churches now, you know, good attendance is twice a month for a lot of places. And, you know, I get the idea behind a sermon series is, you know, trying to build momentum and, you know, have people stay more engaged with the content that we're producing. And try as we might, you know, the titles that we give our sermon series and the themes that we use and the all things we're going to talk about today, we care about that much more. I think if you did a random sampling of my church and said, hey, what series did we do it back in March of this year? Like, I would be surprised if one out of 10 people would be able to tell you what the series title was. You know, even right now I'm having a hard time remembering what the title was that we chose for our series. And, you know, I can tell you what book of the Bible we were going through. I know that we went through Nehemiah, that time of the year this year, but you know, just, we care about this much more than anybody else does. That doesn't mean it's a bad idea. And I think we should still do it. It makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of reasons for it. But I just want to, we can't put all of our hope into our series. This isn't a this isn't something that is a immediate shift, explode your church recipe kind of a, you know, you're going to grow double this year by getting sermon series down. I think it's an important tool, but I want to dispel any of that kind of preconceived notions that maybe it's a kind of a secret sauce that you may have. I think it's a good thing, a good practice to go through, but just to kind of state something that I've experienced is that I care about it more than anybody else. For what it's worth.
That's a good point.
As a pastor.
That's a good point. And you're right. I don't always remember the series, the names of the ones we do.
I know what you guys just finished, I bet. I bet you just finished Summer at the Movies.
We stopped doing that.
Did you?
As a matter of fact, you'd be surprised. We did. The only reason I remember it is because it was called Summer in the Book of Romans.
Oh, okay, good. It was that's very different from Summer at the Movies.
It was very different and less creative, but that's why I remember it, because it was just in the Book of Romans, but we called it Summer in the Book of Romans, Summer in Romans, whatever. So,
hey, let me know, guys, in the comments if you guys do Summer at the Movies there. I've been seeing, I've been seeing on Twitter or X specifically, like, some pushback against, like, from conservative bent people about, like, kind of this Summer at the Movies idea. You know, I know that is kind of a cool tool or a device to engage more people. But, you know, for the most pious of Christians, sometimes it maybe isn't a good idea. So I'd love to know if you guys do it and what you think of Summer at the Movies. Let us know down in the comments on this here.
Good stuff. Well, why don't we kick it off, Thomas? Do you think this first step is the most important? What is it?
Yeah. So we debated whether or not we should even include this, but I felt like we should. So step one in creating every series is to pray. I know it's, you know, totally obvious. I know that like we shouldn't even spend a lot of our time here in this episode talking about it, but I felt that it was important because it is something that I have at times minimized in my own series prep, is just kind of prayerfully considering the direction, what God would have us do, what our church needs to hear, you know, just that he would give us wisdom on how to do it. And really, as a preacher, your primary task is to be a mouthpiece for God, to speak the word of God, and to actually convey that to the people that God has entrusted you with. So I didn't want to skip over it. There's not a lot to be said, I don't think, about it, but I just wanted to, if you're kind of using this as a guideline, you know, get away. Like I'm talking like actually spend some time praying. Spend, if you're doing a big series, like maybe you're going to do a whole big book of the Bible, get away for a weekend and actually, or for a few days and actually pray and ask God for wisdom on how to do these kinds of things. I think that's an obvious one. I don't know if you have anything to add on that, Ian, but.
Yeah, Thomas, and one last thing I'll add. I think it is good we mentioned it because, you know, I do come across several pastors still that, you know, they're very topical as far as their approach. And they'll often tell me, oh, I don't know what I'm preaching on until the moment of sometimes. And so for maybe those pastors, if they're wondering if they can still be spirit led for a series, I believe that you can. Not saying you every pastor needs to do series, and we're all for pastors doing, you know, we're not here to argue any certain kind of sermon approach or anything like that, but it is good to mention, I think. So
yeah, that's such
a
good point. Yeah, there is this stigma that, like, you know, if you're planning, you know, four messages out, or, you know, in some cases 26 messages out or something like that, that you can't really be a spiritual person because you're not hearing it from the Lord. I call, you know, shenanigans on that. I don't think that's the case at all. The Lord could speak to you and help you plan, and that's absolutely true.
Yep. That's good. So what would be the next one after praying? So this would almost be like what we would say would be the first one as far as structuring it, right?
So so you pray and then you identify the theme that God would have you share with your church.
There you go.
So coming up with that theme. Now, if you've followed this podcast for any length of time or have followed me and my ministry at all, you know that I am primarily an expository teacher. Yep. I teach through books of the Bible, and that is my bent. I'm more comfortable in that realm, and I feel like it's better for the people that I'm pastoring. I am not, I'm open-handed about this, and I think that there are fantastic preachers that I love that preach more topical messages in topical series, and you can be great at that, and maybe that's your bent. So this isn't a right or wrong, but I think that just praying through that and coming up with what is that theme. For our church coming up right now, we are about to start a theme on, this is a very distinctly Hawaiian theme, but it's about Aloha, which is kind of an acronym that we're using as a basis for five sermons about what showing Aloha in Hawaii really means.
That's cool.
You know, pulling it back to scripture and those things. And then in the new year, we're launching a series on the book of Matthew, where we're going to go verse by verse through the entire book of Matthew, probably somewhere between 1 and 2 years, just going into that. And that was through a lot of prayer. We decided that was a good direction for us. But so whether the theme is topical or something, maybe it's about something that I know actually right now at our church, we're in the middle of a series on Jesus and politics and some of the key issues around our election. So I think we're talking about LGBTQ issues this week and then abortion next week. And that was just, you really have to sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you to talk about those kinds of things. And so we felt it was important after prayer that we get into it. And our lead pastor really kind of runs with a lot of those things and the directional type stuff with that. But so I think just coming up with that theme and really nailing it down, not title yet, but just like, what do I want? What is God calling us to talk about in this season? Like just really coming to peace with that is the foundation for anything you're going to do here with the series.
No, that's good stuff, Thomas. So obviously after you pick your theme, you need quite simply a title for it, correct?
Yep. So every good series, and remember, you care more about your series than anybody else. But every good series is going to have some kind of a title that's memorable. You know, this is not my wheelhouse. I'm not really great at that. And I actually have loved the way that AI has been able to help with these kinds of things. Not that I would let AI write a sermon for me or any of those kinds of things, but I do think it's great at helping me brainstorm something. So what I would do is I would go into ChatGPT, or I use Claude more than anything else right now. But I would put in what my theme is. You know, talk a little bit about some of the things I want to talk about, what God's putting on my heart, and ask it to help me get a pithy, you know, 2 to 4 word title that it give me 10 ideas for it. And usually it won't come up with the title I would use, but it'll help me come up with an idea that kind of gets me going. And you'd say something like, oh, I really like title number 4. Can you give me 5 more that are in that vein or something to that effect? Yeah. And it helps me kind of wrestle through that. But yeah, that's really cool. Nailing that title. And then you're going to want to use that title in everything that you do, from the promotion of the series. Every single week you want to use that title. You may have an individual title for your message, but talk about what the series title is at the same time. One piece of advice too, when it comes to titling series and sermons, is that you want to make sure that it's not just something clever, but something that actually has search volume. This is just kind of from a marketing perspective. If you choose a title that is things that people are typing into Google, looking for answers on, or typing into YouTube, that will go a lot further than if you use something that's just kind of a creative thing that nobody's typing into a search engine. But yeah, think about some of those things as you're titling it. But yeah, use AI to help you with it.
No, that's cool. Yeah, obviously, like you said, not using AI for the whole message or anything, but to come up with something creative if you're struggling. So that's good. So the next one is developing an outline for it. So maybe this is something that some pastors struggle with that are even doing series currently.
Yeah, totally. So the way I do this is I try to identify the overall theme and like the premise of each sermon. And for me, that means what do I want someone to walk away from the message with at the end of it? And I try to identify the scripture or scriptures that I will be using in that. For our Aloha series I was talking about before, our team, we have the theme of each message, kind of the big takeaway of what it's about, and then also the primary scripture that we want to be, that reinforces what that main point is. Like I said before, I'm a big expository guy, and this is one of the things I love about it, is the outlining becomes really easy, because when you go through a book of the Bible, we're going to go through Matthew, you just use the natural divisions in the text. And this might not sound that spiritual, but like I primarily teach out of the NIV, and they give you those handy little kind of section titles in the NIV that are there. They're not inspired, so they're not part of the original, as we all know. They're not part of the original manuscripts or anything like that. But the writers of the NIV have given titles to certain sections, and those, generally speaking, are correct, I think, in the way they divide scripture up into parts. And so, you know, 95 times out of 100, I will just kind of preach through the natural divisions that they've outlined. So they're able to identify what's a parable and where the parable starts and ends and those things. And so the natural divisions of the text is what you want to use as your outline for things there. So that's kind of the thing, but still you have to think about, hey, you look at the passage of text, what is the main theme of this parable? What's the big takeaway? And that's kind of the theme of the message. So it is a lot of work when it comes to preaching through a 28 chapter book of the Bible over 2 years. There's 100 things to outline maybe in the whole thing. So, but I think it does help, and creating that outline is a great piece of structure for you.
Yeah, that's good. So, weren't you in the book of Luke for 2 years at your last church?
I've already done Luke for 2 years. Yeah, different church though. So,
yeah,
I don't know that
we just
did
Romans for a summer, but we couldn't. Of course, we did a little different, shortened it.
Yeah.
So
I think about it. Like if I was still pastoring at that same church, I wouldn't launch right into Matthew after I finished a 2 year series on Luke. I don't think we spun it around a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
We did Nehemiah and First John and Ephesians, and we did lots of other things in between there. So,
yeah. You'd start that next one. Said beginning. We remember we talked about this 2 years ago at the beginning of the last series. So, but well, good. So after all that, obviously you prepare your first sermon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The first sermon is so important in a series because it does two things. It has its own theme, so it's not just. It's its own theme and its own premise. It has to stand on its own, but it also serves as an introduction for the entire rest of the series. So part of preparing your first sermon is probably spending, I'd say, usually about a third of it getting people encouraged and excited about what's coming next and what they're going to learn and why we're doing this whole series and what it's all about. And so I loved that first series or first sermon in like a series on the book of Luke, for instance, where you get to really lay the groundwork of, hey, who is Luke and why is his perspective important and how is he different from all the other gospel writers and what are we going to glean out of this and why are we doing a 2-year series and, you know, talking through all those kinds of things. So the first sermon is so pivotal in any kind of a series and really nailing both that introduction, the why behind it, and then having it stand on its own, I think it's really important. So yeah, nail that first one.
It's your hook, if you will.
Since we
talk about hooks. So, but well, this next one was, it's kind of confusing to me. Shed some light on it, and it sounds a little different. Coordinating elements. What do we mean by that?
Well, so I think it just takes some prep ahead of time, and this is good to do before you preach the first sermon, is to think through what are some of the elements we can add to our services to help reinforce the themes that we're talking about. So there's some obvious things that I think like kind of make sense in this realm. If we're going to be talking about forgiveness as one of the themes in a series, maybe it's a passage on forgiveness in one of the gospels, or it's just one of your overall themes, maybe worship songs around that theme and forgiveness and how much we've been forgiven of, and maybe there's songs that God puts on your heart, think about those ahead of time. So how neat is it? And I know this is probably hard if you're doing a 100-week series on a gospel or something like that, but if you're doing a 6-week series on a theme, it might not be as hard to think through, hey, message 4, we're really going to be talking a lot about forgiveness. Connect with your worship leader and talk about, hey, I'd love to find a way to work in this song either in the worship set or maybe as our closing and response song, because it really will tie in well with the message that we're doing. Another thing, so that same message even would work for it. Let's say you are a church that does communion occasionally and not weekly. Well, if you have a message on forgiveness, communion's a great tool to work that out. You can bring up again passages about if you have something against your brother, step away from the table and go and reconcile with him first. And you can talk about those things. And, you know, these kinds of elements you can prepare. Maybe there's some kind of a special, you know, we talked, a couple weeks ago about video clips in sermons and some of those things. All kinds of different elements here in Hawaii. It's kind of a common thing where we would have dance as part of our services. Specifically, hula is something that people do during services. And so maybe there's a special element where a hula on a certain theme would make sense, or you've seen something that, or a song that someone dancing to would make a big difference for you. These kinds of things can be really impactful. So what is best, though, is that you plan them out before you preach the first message in the series. You actually have a game plan on some of those elements so that you can really think through what makes sense there.
Would a Southern Baptist church hula?
You know, I think so. I think it'd be acceptable. I don't know. I imagine there's some where it would be frowned upon, but I think the vast majority would receive a spiritual hula.
I like that. So, well, last but not least, and I think this one may be missed by a lot, is when you're done, you should evaluate how the series went, right? So, and that'll help you plan for future series and those types of things, correct?
I think so. That's been an important thing we've instituted at my church, is really digging in on the evaluation and actually bringing in a lot of people into the evaluation. This may be scary at first, because I don't know. I don't like to be told that my sermons were bad personally. Yeah. So that's my, you know, and thankfully most people give positive feedback to sermons so in general. Yeah, I think it's important to invite that. Like, so part of our rhythm as a church is we have weekly service evaluations. And when we finish up a series, we kind of evaluate, hey, how did this go? Do we feel like we really nailed this Nehemiah series that we just finished? What was the highlight? What was what maybe didn't work? What elements would have been better if we did in there? And when you evaluate, it helps you think through some of this kind of stuff, and it'll turn out a better series the next time around there. So,
That's good.
I think that this is something that I'm really big into. And I think here's the thing that I think will be a challenge for most pastors is inviting that kind of feedback from people that that report to you or that you are pastoring, asking them and soliciting feedback. That really the most helpful feedback is stuff that's critical or things that maybe we should do differently.
Yeah.
So I think getting yourself over that hump and maybe swallowing your pride a little bit and, you know, kind of inviting that. I know it stings. And I know you and I, Ian, have been doing these kinds of things for years that
You
know, we worked in sales for a long time before.
Right.
And that's part of our process is saying, here's what you did well. Here's what you didn't.
We've taught critique at times.
We've taught a couple of methods to do this too at our church is that we have what's called the sandwich method, which is like, hey, here's one thing you did so good. I might have tweaked this a little bit. And then here's one other thing you did really well. So kind of putting the critique between something. Or what we also have is what we call the fluff, fluff, slam.
Ah, you took it from me. That's the go one ahead. You I can wanted to talk about. The fluff, fluff, slam. The fluff, fluff, slam is when you start with a lot of positive. It's more like the it'd be like sauce on top, right? So because the hot sauce on top, but you tell all the positives and then you bring the bad news. But the other thing you made me think of too is if pastor's going to invite someone to evaluate and everything, I think a thing is to find someone who's not afraid to give good critique, because we do know there's a lot of yes people that just, you know, the pastor could do no wrong and they won't give any. So find that person that that doesn't have a problem getting in your grill a little bit. So
Well, good, man. I hope this has been helpful to everybody. This is kind of the process I walk through and some of the things we do as a team here when we are creating a sermon series. I hope I didn't discourage you too much by saying nobody cares about them, because I think that we care about them more than anybody else is what I was getting at.
Yeah.
But all of that being said, I think that it's something that is still a valuable tool and it's a good momentum tool for churches. So if you have anything else that you do at your church that you've seen help make your sermon series more effective and it made you a better preacher, I'd love to hear about it down in the comments. So share the wealth, the knowledge with us. Drop us a comment down below. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. And thanks for being a part of the Reach Right family. We'll see you next time.
See you.